Hello, dear friends. Hello, Ruth. I'm waiting for Lee to join us, but for now, I just want to welcome you. Thank you for your time. Hey, there you are.
Hello.
Thank you for your time too, Lee.
No, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to you and to everybody else joining. Wow.
Yes. And David, hello, and all the other that we don't
Andre,
know in
David,
person.
whoa.
Okay.
Finally, finally.
Finally, how do we start? Today we speak about soul and ego. For me, shocking in so many ways how big ego and how present ego in my life was. I used to think that ego was only about I'm too proud. Like, who do you think you are to talk to me this way? That this is ego itself. But ego is so much more. Like you, I've learned from you that it is creating illusional happiness in a way that you always wait for a better moment, a better day that will come tomorrow, that will be when you're on vacation, that you will be when you're in a relationship. And just to find the happiness and the feeling of being enough, just in you, because you are enough and you are whole as one person, and to love yourself first and then to love everyone else equally, like you do love yourself, right? Go ahead.
You don't need me here. It's Coach Anna today. My angel, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for sharing and just the introduction. You know, and I will say this for convenience of the audience is that, as we repeatedly said, ego's only job is to create an illusion of happiness in our journey, right? In saying this, we are all of us are raised in a very superficial way on what ego is all about. And I say superficial way because we were raised in ego is I am better than you or you have more than me. So it is based on a material aspect, which 100 billion percent is correct. However, there's an extension to all of this. You know, one of the things I said to him and to Andreas, in fact, way back, I said, ego stands for earth gains only. EGO, earth gains only. So when anything that's materially based, ego will participate in that. So loving ourselves unconditionally, this is our number one priority at life. However, we do go through a journey where we participate in the lives of others, or they participate in ours, and we allow that energy to reach us. And our soul will never fight. Our soul is always only going to vibrate love, for love, with love.
I mean, when you start to understand, whenever you feel a discomfortable feeling, like something here just doesn't feel right, when you make a decision, when you meet a person, when you are about to do something, when you make decisions, then just listen to here because it shows you something. Your subconscious fear, your inner self, your soul is showing you that this is not right. But again, I'm always explaining this is ego, what is going on here, and this is soul. So when you only listen to your gut feeling, it will be a right feeling for life. But if you make decision from here, which is not only based on your own experience, which is also ego itself, right? Because you have made a wrong experience, a bad experience in a way, and you say, I don't want to make the same mistake. But this is again just ego driven decision and not listen to your soul, right? And also this here is when you listen to other opinions as well, when you talk to friends and family and they will give you advice and say like, oh, I did that too and it was so wrong for me. But again, it was their journey, their experience, and not yours. So how difficult for me, but also life-changing at the same time, it was to understand that this is all about you and your life, making your own mistakes, your own experiences, and just listen to hear because it will direct you in such a good and right way.
100% again, Coach Anna. Thank you so much for I'll be demoted after this to Lee Levy only, not to my life coach. Thank you, my angel. You know, you've raised a couple of very important facts. Number one is to always listen to your soul. Now, your soul is like your navigation on your car. You know, when you punch in a destination on your car and you say, I want to go to this street in Munich or wherever, your navigation will take you straight there. You take any wrong turn, the navigation will say, recalculating, make a U-turn at the next exit and you got to go back. That's exactly the same thing with our lives. When we do not pay attention to our soul, we always have to go back. Every good decision that you've ever made in your life that brought you, let me rephrase it. Every decision you made that brought you happiness was made with your soul. And this, every person can go back and test. And every decision that there was discomfort was made because the person thought about it, analyzed, overanalyzed it, and it just trying to understand what is the next best decision.
And also this pro and cons list that we used to do so often. Make a pro and cons list, and then what will be bigger and longer, then you have to go for it.
Yeah, thank you. It's ego again. Ironically, you know, when an individual starts speaking to others around them about their own difficulty, I don't say problem, their challenge or discomfort, that in itself is ego. Because they're not searching for solutions, they're searching for validation, they're searching for sympathy, which again is ego. So the soul literally has no desire for fighting, for looking for answers on the outside, because everything's on the inside.
Let me explain one more thing. Lee and I, we don't want to name this word ego too often because it's manifestation itself. So we call it the little monkey. So whenever it pops up, you know, monkey is at the same time ego.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd introduce the monkey to the show because I do not enjoy using that word. You know, it is we said this, and this is, it's known from a spiritual perspective that your energy flows where your attention goes. So the more we focus on speaking about a negative or discomfort, the monkey takes over and takes that environment and converts it to a negative experience. There's no, I truly believe this in, and I say this with simplicity, is that every beautiful moment in our life, every beautiful breath that we take is filled with love. We are either present for love or we're rejecting it. And when we are present for love, then we are not going to speak a negative into a discomfort. We're going to look at two questions, as we said before, from a spiritual soul perspective. And the one is, what is this experience here to teach me? Which is a positive experience, and it comes from the soul. And the next question is, what is my next best decision? What is my next best decision? We don't do that. What do? We take the discomfort and we start cutting it up. If I do this, then this might happen, that might happen. And that is ego.
Yes, we start analyzing and then we start blaming, we start questioning, criticizing. And all the words that I will just read out loud, because this was my very first session, and I will post it afterwards so you guys can re-listen to it and make notes for yourself, because you talked about things like blaming, criticizing your body, you have mood swings, attachment to negative things, you have excessive happiness, but then again, you question your euphoria. Also, how do others see me and how they like me? What do they think about me? It's everything ego, because we cannot control ego. We cannot control other people's opinion and the way they see us and if they like us or not. It's none of our business, right? This is just what I've learned, is just to live your life. You don't have to explain yourself, your decision to no one, right? Not even to your significant life partner. Of course, if you're aligned, he will understand. But this explanation, justification, is again ego itself.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing this. Is that when we understand the characteristics of the monkey, there we go, of the monkey, we'll be able to recognize the monkey's characteristics in our behavior. And it takes, it takes time. It's not an easy journey, right? Soul versus ego. It takes time because society have been conditioned to live by ego, by monkey. And unfortunately, when you change a habit that's been around for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, it does take time. Now, unfortunately, individuals are not patient enough. You know, they want to plant the seed today and eat the fruit tonight. You know, going inwards, a journey of spirituality is it's not an easy journey. The rewards are greater as you progress and go through. You know, when I speak about you and Andre and how blessed I am to participate in your journey, it's so beautiful to see where you guys are today compared to where you were when 100%. You started this journey, right? And 100%. Yet when we started to, thank you. When we started these journeys, both you and Andre thought that you guys were in your great, in your best shape of your lives. And I said, with love and respect to you and so many others that I'm counseling worldwide. And it's only when we start going inward and we start breaking down, then we start understanding which habits does not serve our higher good. Because every decision we take, every beautiful breath, and it mustn't be, oh, what must I say? What must I do? I don't know. Is it my ego? That itself is ego. 100%. Every aspect of our journey, thank you. Every aspect of our journey is purely designed to serve our higher good. And when we understand that, then we will recognize that there will be no problems. There will be no discomforts. There'll be a presentation of environment. What is this here to teach me? What is an expositive decision? And we have to do it. I just want to share one more thing before I hand over to you. Is the reason why people do not take the informed decision, the best next decision, is because that next best decision doesn't serve the monkey.
And doesn't serve the other people. This is what I was about to say. How also life-changing and difficult, and still it is today, to say no to someone else, but yes to you. Wow. Because like, do you want to come to dinner? Do you want to meet up? And you're actually, that's an old friend. I must say yes, but I just don't feel like it. And I would say, yes, let's catch up. And it's a no to me. So I'm blocking me. I'm blocking my energy, but I'm just to be liked and to please the other part, I say yes. So to switch this and to say no to someone else, but yes to you, is life-changing. It's so helpful. It helps your energy. And also telling people no is a boundaries. To set your boundaries itself is just soul. And even if it just for the other part, not pleasing, and they don't like you for that. But again, it's their journey, their part. And if they don't like you for that, then that's not your people, right?
Absolutely. I was about to say, thank you so much for sharing this. Is that, you see, the challenge comes is when an individual embarks on a spiritual journey, wanting to understand more about who they are and wanting to find more consistent happiness and searching for that light that we all searching for, that, you know, a higher good, to vibrate at our highest, truest expression of ourselves. At that stage, one actually has to go through your friends list and detox your list. Mm-hmm. And like what I did was, those who I believe was not aligned with my journey, I actually picked up the phone and spoke to them. And many of them were very angry at the way I addressed them. It's like, I've known you for so many years. How can you tell me, you know, we're not going to be there. I'm sharing with you. I'm being honest and transparent. You can accept it. Don't accept it. It's up to you. It's not my point. So when I did this, and I'm sharing this elegantly, my circle started getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And I shared this with you guys. I said to you, the closer you get to your soul, the further you get away from society and from whoever else you thought was once your friend. And in that moment of expansion towards the soul, the detoxification of those who mustn't be there were automatically removed. One still has to take that informed decision when somebody asks you out, even the ones that you've given, you know, you want to spend time with, even when they share with you, listen, Anna, let's meet up for lunch and it'd be great. We haven't seen each other. That's a bit of a reunion. At that moment, your soul's going to say to you yes or no. Mm-hmm. When you don't listen there, now firstly, right there, you have actually that self-sabotage there. Then you go on from that moment onwards, still that lunch, they self-sabotage on a daily basis, an hourly basis. And you sit and you endure that lunch and the self-sabotage, and then you have to leave from there. It takes you another week to detox that energy.
Actually, ego and soul will be guiding us throughout all of our session, either if it's parenthood or relationship. Because I was about to say with Andre, when I start being like fully transparent and not being afraid of his reaction, concerning my feelings, then I started feeling free and myself. I didn't sabotage myself anymore. Because I said, if I'm not honest to myself, why can I expect to be Andre honest to me? And, you know, like, this is just a base that you create for everyone to communicate with you. And you know, ego in a partnership was like not being liked. This is ego, because soul knows only love. And if you don't align, then this is just not it, as sad as it is. But on the other hand, life has something better to offer you. And you don't have to feel bad or to really push and to struggle and to control a situation in a relationship, because things will have to flow.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, one of the misconceptions in couple, I've seen a couple, I've got a couple counseling, relationship counseling, marriage counseling. And one of the misconceptions in relationship, marriage and couples, etc., is that honesty means I'm not going to cheat, and I'm not going to talk to somebody else I'm not supposed to talk to. They believe that is honesty. That is not, that's a very superficial level. And you've just opened up that that pathway, which of course we will speak about more in detail when we get to motherhood and parenthood, etc., is that being able to say, to speak freely about the discomfort that you're having, not necessarily the discomfort in Andre, the discomfort in yourself. You know,
Absolutely. And
this is where a lot of couples are misguided, is when they're not feeling great, they fear of sharing that with their partner, and that's again ego, right? That's again the monkey. For fear of what? Of judgment, criticism from the partner.
And rejection. And the rejection. Fear of just not being liked and loved.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. And that there is the monkey, is the ego again. So every aspect of our lives as we move forward, it's ego versus soul. I want to say ego, monkey versus soul.
Yeah.
And it does. And thank you. I shared with you, and I just want to share with the audience quick, you know, the situation where I had, I did a workshop a couple of months ago for parents in Dubai. And in the front table, the child was sitting on the floor, and he reached up to the table for his dad's mobile. And the dad, he took the mobile and he started playing. And the dad said to the child, "Don't break dad's mobile." Mm-hmm. And I just happened to hear that. And I turned to him, I said, "Would you mind that I'm able to present this to everybody?" It's about 200 parents, about 400 people. So he said, "Sure." I said, this dad just said to his son, "Don't break dad's mobile." That's a negative. That's an egotistical statement. The right way to present it would be, take good care of dad's mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Ego versus soul. You know what I mean? It's a negative versus a positive. Now, one cannot expect, and we will go into parenting at a later stage. No one teaches us on how to be parents. It's trial and error. And I know it's been quite tough for most new, you guys also went through a bit of a challenge at the beginning. And it is, all parents go through this. And the only aspect we have to be mindful of is we've got to learn to love ourselves more freely.
Wow. My head is going there. I want to say and add and ask. But yes, this is difficult, talking to a child like in always a positive manner, because you want to protect the child and you don't want to hurt your child. And at the same time, you always give him like energy and self-sabotage, like, don't do that, don't go there, don't stop doing it. At the same time, don't blame yourself, you parents, because it's also what you have received from your parents, you know, seeing your parents, you adapt everything. So this is how you were, this is your old narrative, right? And you have to rewrite it if you want to. And want it, and Andre too, and we accepted all the positives that we took from our childhood and from our parents being parents. But at the same time, we also said, hey, this is what we would love to do differently, so our kids' generation can really act out of love, you know, and change the world in a love-mannered way. That's the goal.
That's the journey.
But let's keep it small and try to have like love within a small circle for now.
Okay, we're going to just tell everybody that joined us never to use the word try.
Yes, please. Try is ego. Think what I think you I think you are stupid. This is an ego. Right? So always think. And like you say, I want is a is an ego word, word, and I desire, I wish for is an expression out of coming from your soul. So like, I want a bag, I want a big car, I want a big apartment. But does your soul really desire this bag? Like, no. Do you need this excessive of luxury products? No. Is this easy to say goodbye to all of it? No. It's quite, like you say, listening for the very first time, it's quite shocking. It was shocking for me because, like, am I ready to do it all at the same time? But you guys, you don't have to do it immediately today, starting to throw all away, give away all your material things, and also saying no to everyone. It's a process, and you have to start where it feels right and it feels the most important to start, like we did in our you know, family. Yes, being great parents, this is what our biggest trauma and trigger was. And like Angie would say, that's the greatest compliment when someone would say, you are not normal, because we believe that it's very ego driven to do what your neighbors do when you look left and right, what people are doing. And you say, well, this is normal to do so, even if it doesn't feel right, but everyone else is doing it. But hey, no, there's a chance. There's always an alternative way to do things, right? So you don't have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. See, normal, the normality in society is based on ego, for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
It's based on ego and it's based on comparison.
Yeah.
Comparison is literally, okay, I see they bought this car, so I should also get one. Or I see that Anna's wearing these shoes, so let me go and Google it and I'll get myself the same pair of shoes. And in doing that, the individual believes that by achieving or attaining that material, they will then be happier. You know, this is all part of the monkey. It's part of the ego. As we said, you know, initially when we started, you know, illusional happiness is, delayed happiness is when your happiness is dependent on a person, place, or thing. Mm-hmm. So when somebody says, and you hear couples would say, oh, don't worry about the difficulty we're having now. Let's go on holiday. We'll be okay after that. Or there's a problem and they go, oh, you're getting a new car in 2 days. You'll feel happy. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling happy. You think you're happy.
You think
you're happy. Because feeling happy has nothing to do on the outside.
Example, ding, ding, ding. I purchased myself a very beautiful bag. And I said, I really need this bag. It will make me happy. And this is what I don't have yet. I need this color. And I got it. And I was wearing it for a night out with Andre. And I looked into the mirror and I was like, ooh, that looks nice. But it was like 2 seconds of happiness. Also illusional happiness, not deep down inside happy. And then I went out and I saw this blue pinkish sky and the air was beautiful, and was walking next to Andre and I was not happy. I was deeply unhappy and I was like, this is not the right thing to look for happiness in these materials. Like, just clean here. You have to start somewhere. Like, you want to clean up, tidy up your apartment, you have to start with the room. So this is like within you. Start with one trauma. Is it your family? Is it your childhood? Is it your boyfriend, your partner? Is it your is it you being a mom or a dad? And then Lee, I want to ask you, like, we were in the very first session, we were talking about the four stages. I just want you to explain this and also to give our followers the task for home to like adapt it on their lives and
triggers
and traumas.
Thank you. You were 100% right earlier, before I go into the four stages, is that, you know, detoxing our journeys is a very painful experience, because whatever material things we have achieved, we bought that for a reason, for some part of our life to be full. So it's like a puzzle. We bought a bag to fill this little gap, and that little gap is trauma of 10 years ago. We bought another car, and that car was to fill a trauma of 9 years ago with this relationship. And it will just keep buying, and that happiness is short-lived. So this is very important. We'll speak about this in some of the other sessions. So like I said, you know, there are four stages to every individual's journey, and they continue this on a continued basis, and it depends on the strength of the person within themselves. The first stage, for those who have books and pens can make a note, the first stage is called the arrival. The arrival stage is when an individual, when their coping mechanisms starts failing on them. What are your coping mechanisms? Coping mechanisms is that ability to take an informed decision that serves your soul, that serves your higher good.
Mm-hmm.
What, give me an example of a few, you know, where we can see someone's coping mechanism that failed. Do you, are you the type of person that goes to a cinema and when you're standing there and you're about to, with your partner or your mates or friends and you go, and they go, oh, what do you want to watch? They turn to you and say, what do you want? And you're watching, you go, I don't know, what do you got? You can't choose a movie. You take a menu, you go to a restaurant with some friends of yours, and the waiter says, what are you having? And you turn to the waiter and says, what is good?
Oh my gosh, this was so me.
So you. Or you turn to your friends and say, who have you been here before? You, okay, what is good on the menu? That is where the coping mechanisms have failed. Another example, those are two. Another example is maybe going to buy some clothing, you know, going to the store, the malls, and the individual can't go on their own. They have to take someone with them. And in the absence of somebody going with them, they go through a massive trauma, walking through a mall, going to stores. Now, the first thing they do is they don't look for the clothing that they like. They look for a shop assistant that greets them and connects with them. Mm-hmm. And then what they'll do is they'll go to the shop assistant and say, you know, I'm looking for this person, brings it. And they go, does this look good on me? Tell me your opinion. And whatever that person says, this monkey is going to do.
This is like this consume victim, right? Being a
exactly.
Victim of like, they sell me and I take it. Oh, sold, yeah, sold. I take everything you tell me to buy.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my angel. You know, as we said before, every conversation is a transaction. Every conversation is total to love. Someone is sharing and someone is taking. So mm-hmm. when we are driven by ego, we are pushing it away. And in an environment like that, our coping mechanisms have failed. We are, the individual is literally searching for anyone who can just validate the existence.
Mm-hmm.
So that stage one is called the arrival. When someone's coping mechanisms have failed, and what they do is they start searching on Instagram for answers. They go on Facebook, they go on YouTube, they go on TikTok, they go on all
the platforms. They compare, and they end up of comparing and buying things that other people wear and like, and it's actually not you, but you think because it looks good on someone else.
Yes.
And this also has to do with self-love, but we will speak about self-love also in another session. But
yes.
Self-love to me was like, oh, that's self-love. Like, I don't love myself enough to make informed decision for myself, which are good for me, and not asking 10 people about, because every person will have another opinion. And what will you do with 10 opinions? Like, it will not help you.
And again, as I said earlier on, the only reason why we speak to everybody around us is because we're looking for validations.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for acceptance and approvals of our life, of our lives, of our standards. So stage one, arrival, is when the individual's coping mechanism fails. They can no longer take informed decisions. They've got a massive amount of traumas over the past
mm-hmm.
years. And then they literally raise their hand. They start looking for help. They start looking for assistance. They start looking for healing. That's the arrival. The second phase would be... the awareness phase is where we literally start, whoever they're speaking to, a professional, they start searching for their pain triggers, their traumas of the past. It's not an easy stage because you actually have to face your skeletons, you have to face your demons. And most times it's a very uncomfortable journey because not everybody, for me with my patients, and nice trauma, and I highlighted, they would go, that's not trauma.
We cannot hear you, my love. Hello, 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 are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Yes. You're a little bit frozen from time to time. We cannot hear you. You're like this. But in the meantime, I would love to share one thing, that looking back at my childhood, I couldn't remember so many things. Like, I think I remember from age 7 or 8. And then I think in my childhood of 2, 3, 4 years old, I remember like just glimpses of moments where I was rejected or I fell or I had like a traumatic experience. And Lee, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys. So yeah, when you look back at your childhood, just see what kind of moments do you remember, and what moments could have been created trauma in your life. This is one thing that helped me, and I found that rejection is one topic that really guided me through my life. And this was also in all the relationship, like being rejected was something that I denied so bad that I didn't want to. Let me just invite Lee for one more time. Then I found again, hello my love, you're back.
I'm back.
Yes, we were at the awareness stage. It's a hard stage, a very traumatic. You're gonna cry. You might cry. That's okay. It's good. And like you say, it's important to find your wound, to heal it, and then to put it with love and good things. Because if it's dirty, you're not going to clean it, like to heal from it.
Thank you. So the awareness is really the recognition of traumas, of pain, of.
Okay, I think this is it for today. Instagram gave us 30 minutes. I think we will continue with the four stages in next Sunday in our second session. This will be the best. So I will just thank you for your time, guys. We will speak about also your questions maybe in the next session. Apologies for this technical issues. And I would say goodbye. We send you so much love.